Hi, welcome to the Catch the Tornado podcast. This episode features François Landrier-Nadeau, the CEO at Snipcart. Snipcart is a developer-oriented solution for building shopping carts for online stores and enabling e-commerce for small to medium brands. François's journey from a regular growth marketer at a startup to the CEO of a successful company is one that sounds almost unreal. Through curiosity, engagement, and the willingness to learn, he built his own career from the ground up. In this week's episode, he shares his perspective on the 8 years he spent at Snipcart, but also the company's roadmap, its unique product market fit, as well as some insights as to how a SaaS company was able to build such a vibrant community many open source projects could be envious of. Tune in.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'm super excited to host François Landrier-Nadeau, CEO of Snipcart. Snipcart is an e-commerce shopping cart, actually the whole platform that you can embed everywhere into landing page, blog posts, or just to have like a fully fledged e-commerce website. We're going to talk about the early days, venture building model, and how they spun off from an agency. Let's begin. Hi, François. I'm super excited and super happy you accepted my invitation.
Hey, hi. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I love having these chats.
That's awesome. Maybe let's start with your professional background. If you can give us a short overview how you get into software engineering, into computer science, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Actually, my entry to the world of web development was through marketing.
Yeah.
So I used to be a marketer, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with my career.
Yeah.
So I explored different options. By accident, I landed inside of a web development agency. Mm-hmm. And from there, I kind of fell in love with the whole ecosystem, the tooling, and that's the future, basically, because I love the aspect of building businesses online. So that's kind of the background, if you will. And as for Snipcart, I joined the team as the first employee, actually as an intern, back in 2014 or late 2013. Mm-hmm. And yeah, my goal was to try to get some traction for that software product that was targeting developers.
Yeah.
And I guess long story, very short, I became CEO.
Yeah, but very, very short story, like just 6 or 7 years. It's best, you know, overnight success. That's actually interesting. So you say that you don't have like typical engineering background.
No,
you have more like marketing e-commerce background.
Yes.
And you joined this team building this Snipcart thing. So your role was more like product owner?
So in the beginning, to be frank, my role was to create content and do some SEO and just try to generate any kind of traction for the product. So that's what I did in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Then slowly but surely, I started being involved in product development and structuring.
Taking more and more responsibilities.
Exactly, yeah. So it kind of went from intern to marketing lead to partner and then product owner and then product owner and CEO and then CEO. That's kind of the trajectory here, if you will.
Yeah. Awesome path, by the way. Congratulations that you went all those steps. I think that it gives you superpower, like, you know, knowing everything about how you build the venture product. That's super cool.
Thank you.
And how about the early days of Snipcart? Like you said, you joined very early. When did you guys know that this is something, that this product has a market fit, that is getting the traction? How the early days look like?
Yeah. So we started from a dog fooding start point, if you will, meaning that Snipcart was launched inside a web development agency.
So you use it for your own projects?
Exactly, yeah. So there was a client that had an old, dusty website. He was one of the first clients at the agency, and he really wanted to sell online, but he did not have the budget to convert his old website into something transactional. So
yeah,
Charles and the initial team started tinkering around with a way to add e-commerce into the front end only without having to refactor anything, if you will.
Yeah.
And that was the initial MVP of Snipcart. That's how Snipcart came to be. And it always was very developer first, meaning that the initial bet was that other developers inside agencies must have had the same pain somewhere along the way. So let's try to see if they're on board, if they want to try Snipcart. And the initial growth was mostly one of my partners, George, going around town in different agencies and selling Snipcart.
Yeah.
And there was a little traction, a little interest. And then we migrated our efforts online through content marketing and community building and integrations and that kind of stuff. In terms of product market fit, I'll be frank with you, the signals were super early. Like there were agencies going all in, adopting Snipcart. And then there were lots of CMS communities just going, listen, we really need some e-commerce. There's no native functionality in our platform, in our CMS. So this Snipcart thing works perfectly. And then they would create an integration or some add-ons. And like it kind of picked up from there, I'd say. Yeah.
So the killer feature was that I don't have to replatform the whole damn thing. I just can, you know, embed this e-commerce in my legacy CMS or custom built web page, whatever. Yep. I had, I could just start from there, and it was super easy to get started.
Yeah, because you know, Snipcart lives in the front end, meaning that the checkout and the shopping cart itself, they are embedded through a JavaScript snippet, like you would do with a Google Analytics thing. And then the paradigm that is different about Snipcart really is about how products are created. Like people come to e-commerce and they expect a database, a UI to create product that are registered in that database and whatever. Yeah. But Snipcart is much more simple. We like to think it's elegant in a way. So products live in the HTML markup. Meaning you have a HTML element like a button, you define some properties, some data attributes around that element, and this becomes your Snipcart product.
That's really, as you said, elegant technically, and also very easy. Like from business perspective, it's super cool that I can use experiment with this whole e-commerce model without the whole replatforming. So the initial growth was 100% organic, as you said, right? You were just using your agency money earned on services to build the product.
Yeah. I feel like I should address something that always pops up when I do calls and interviews like this, is the security part, just before I go further. So Snipcart does a thorough crawlback of all of the information that is located on your initial page where the product lives to make sure that even if you try to mess around with dev tools or alter prices, the transaction won't go through. So that's something that always pops up. So I just want to tell developers listening that we got this one covered. That's
so right. It is something like anti-CSRF hashing, kind of, you know, checking if the content wasn't messed out with the,
It's actually super simple. It's one of the key data attributes that we have on products is the URL where you want your product to live. So we go back to that URL, that initial one. We look at the attributes, and if there's any difference between the one that you're trying to process in the order, we just like we tell you an error message and we explain what's going on. So
now I feel, you know, calmed. So it's super safe. Yeah. We can go on.
thank you for allowing me these parentheses. So your question was about the initial growth.
Yes.
Was it 100% organic?
Yes.
I would say 99% organic.
Okay.
Because we, you know, I was a junior, very junior marketer, and I was trying a bunch of stuff. And sometimes I did paid campaigns and some private, developer centric site networks where you could do, like, I think it was Carbon Ads back then, and then I did some Google Ads and some Facebook Ads, and I tried to see if that would pick up, but it was like, it wasn't a passion of mine. I don't think it was the best channels to reach our audience of developers. And we quickly realized that there was a much better personal and business fit by doing content and community work, if you will.
Gotcha. Who's the ideal customer of Snipcart?
That's a great question. So now that we're a profitable and mature business, I mean, we've been doing this for like almost 8 years now, we kind of have the luxury to say no to a lot of things, including customers that do not fit with our value proposition, if you will. Yeah. So the ideal customer is a small to medium business selling from 500 a month to 50K a month, for instance. Yeah. And that is in one way or another guided and helped by developers. So it can be a freelance developer that works with SMBs. It can be an agency developer or in-house developer. It really depends on the merchant, on the organization that uses Snipcart. That's the broad answer, I'd say.
Gotcha. How you position among the other options for such upstarters and SMBs? I mean, probably marketplaces, Shopify are the most popular ones.
Yeah.
So where is the Snipcart on this landscape?
Great question. So the reality of merchants that are using Snipcart, so the maybe less technical people involved in the project, is often one of two scenarios, let's say. So first you have some people, some entrepreneurs that will say, listen, I'm very good at what I do. For instance, running a restaurant or grinding coffee.
Yeah.
And I want to focus my talent in the operations of this business, but I don't want to dabble with websites and technology and automating all of that.
Yeah.
I prefer getting professional help for this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these merchants will often reach out to developers, agencies, freelancers, and these freelancers and agencies, they much prefer having control over the stack that they use to build web experiences, meaning that marketplaces and popular solutions like Shopify are just awesome. They're great. They're enabling commerce all over the world. And I'm thankful for them to be existing.
Yeah.
But developers like to pick the right tool for the right job. And this has a lot of business benefits also, right? It can help with like performance, which can help with rankings, scalability, portability, maintainability. There's a whole bunch of stuff that merchants can benefit from directly or not when a developer has the choice of a stack. So that's why these developers will push Snipcart inside of their project, meaning that, listen, we can tailor the experience to what you really need. And then the e-commerce part is a mess, right? It's complicated. There's security involved. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So we don't want to do this ourselves.
Yeah.
So this will use Snipcart's flexible layer of e-commerce to wrap the whole thing together. So that's one scenario where you have merchants who are purely helped by developers.
Yeah.
And then you have another scenario where you have entrepreneurs that are very strong-willed and autonomous. And they say, listen, there are all of these tools existing, like Shopify, for instance, that empower me to do e-commerce myself. So they try, they get started. Sometimes they even start with less sophisticated tools in Shopify, like a Squarespace or Wix, if you will. And they build something that works okay or that just doesn't work like they would like to.
Gotcha.
So it's either a functional limit or an aesthetic limit where they're like, this is not the experience I want to create for my online customers. I would like to do this, but the platform doesn't let me. I would like to do this, but I don't know how to design and customize these things. So they kind of, they hit a roadblock very soon in their e-commerce journey, and then they go and reach out for developer help, and then they will propose Snipcart, for instance.
Gotcha. Now I get it. So it's like you offer them more like a developer's tool than marketing tool, which is, by the way, great. Taking into consideration that your background was marketing and you built the developer's tool. So that's really cool.
You know, there are two personas using Snipcart always. So we're mostly developers at Snipcart.
But who's making the decisions? Developers, as you said, probably.
Developers, but still, what I'm getting at is that if there was no... So we have a fully hosted merchant dashboard where you can manage orders, discounts.
It's convenient. It speaks the language they understood, right?
Yeah. So there's a place for them to operate and optimize their business online, right? So the developers make the decision or influence merchants to make the decision. But then afterwards, once they have integrated with their stack and the e-commerce store is up and running, they can just hand off the project through the merchant dashboard to the merchant, and they can take it from there. You know, so it's important to have this part nailed in the process also. If we didn't, you know, merchants would just leave.
Of
so
course.
Churn would be crazy. Yeah.
Of course, that's super cool. But what also struck me, and it's I guess it's great that you said that it's a way, Snipcart is a way to mitigate all the limitations the platform gives you for customizations and the user experience, which wasn't something I was even thinking about, because you know all this all those headless platforms, the big ones are saying this, like, use us, because otherwise you would be limited. With us, you can do whatever you like, whatever function you like.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, true, but here is a different way doing things, because you are saying we have a linear option. You are also not limited, and you can do whatever you like, because we are not doing this whole, you know, front-end things, and you can do WordPress web page, but you can also do Amplify CMS, Enterprise CMS, Adobe, whatever, and still include Snipcart. So that's super, super awesome way of doing things, taking it from different angle, right?
Yes, maybe I can add to that and speak to that a little. When it comes to enterprise, we don't shy away from saying no to some potential customers. It's a lot of money, and of course it's interesting, but Snipcart really is built with, for now at least, with the SMBs in mind.
Yep.
So, but you said something that I think is worth expanding on, which is you can use whatever you'd like to build a site.
Yep.
And we see this inside of our user base. We have, let's say, roughly half of the people will use a traditional coupled monolithic website and then plug Snipcart into it. But then on the other hand, on the other half, you have all of the Jamstack-ish, more modular and funky stuff where you have a headless CMS in the back and then a front-end framework in the front that's super trendy and optimized for performance. And then Snipcart kind of weaves its way into that bundle. Yeah.
That's awesome. Why you are posting on web page that you are developers first? Not that's the case, or you have some other things, you know, on mind saying so.
We're committed to remaining developer first for now and going forward. I mean, it's just something that resonates best with who we are and the marketing we want to do.
Yeah.
So for us, it makes sense to go that route, and it's been mostly a positive experience thus far.
Yeah.
All of that being said, in all transparency, what we realized in the past year, I was doing a whole lot of customer interviews and whatnot, and is the fact that as a team of mostly developers, it's easier for us to identify to the reality of developers doing e-commerce. So we kind of nail the integration part. But since we're not necessarily merchants at our core, we realized that we offered a decent experience for merchants, but that was a place where we could shine more. So this year, for instance, there are a lot of the roadmap will be focused on improving the merchant experience to make sure once they have Snipcart in their hands, they're not limited and there are no irritants. So we're in that spirit, we're bootstrapping our own, dog fooding our own product and starting an online store so we can like step into the shoes of merchants even more, selling some swag and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really cool. The other thing I was thinking about before this recording session is your community part. Because Snipcart is a software as a service offer. Uh-huh. And as we all know, it's not that obvious that if you are SaaS, you're going to have a community, and you do, a really vibrant community. Yeah. How it works and how you build it, like being SaaS, you know, and still having this community, like what was the receipt for that?
That's a wonderful question. Let's see. So you're kind of implying a truth, which comes from being open source tends to accelerate community building around a project, right?
A lot. Yeah. That's the core of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And this is not something that was part of our journey, right? Because we're not open source.
Yeah.
So if you abstract the actual workings of the project and you just focus on the values of open source and you say, so transparency, collaboration, community, communication, support, like all of these things, our thinking was like, well, how can we still use these things and be community actors by propping these values? And one of the easy answer was really like, well, let's just help the web dev community through actual technical content, technical tutorials.
Yeah.
And most of them, if you look at our blog, I mean, most of that stuff is like we're building an article with code snippets and tutorials, and there's a GitHub repo and there's a live demo and the code is open source.
Yeah.
And we try our best to help people use these tiny like starters, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we're very open and we're like contributing members to the community, even though Snipcart's core is not open source. So we try as much as we can to embrace that ethos.
Yeah.
And I think we did a decent job, and I'm very proud of what we built. And I think one of the payoffs of this is we see developers just creating third-party integrations with Snipcart that are amazing, and they do it on their own. And the fun thing is now that we're profitable and we're way past the ramen eating point, we can start supporting them with money, with support, with exposure. Just recently, we had this awesome fellow, Jacob, who built a suite of plugins for Sanity and Snipcart that would like fasten the e-commerce done in that headless CMS. And the community response has been amazing. We've been able to support them financially and on the marketing level. And so, yeah, I feel just blessed that this stuff happens to us. I mean, it's one of the best thing about this gig, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you did an amazing job building this this community. And as you said, you are supporting it so actively. So, yeah, I really like it. I really like it because still you have a very clear business model. Like, the API is paid. The other things are for free, or you can build on your own. That's super cool because it's very open. It's open close, right? Open close principle. So it's open for anyone to join, but it's also close part. The reason why they should pay you, which is totally fair. So I really like it. Tell me about your future plans.
Oh yeah, that's a great one. So right now we are focused on shipping subscriptions. So with the current version of Snipcart, the latest is the V3, before that we had V2 and we already supported subscriptions through Stripe. Mm-hmm. Now we've refactored a whole like payment service for V3 mm-hmm. and we've like scrapped the whole subscriptions and did it from scratch for this one. So it's basically, if you want to sell like recurring payments and boxes and I don't know, any kind of subscription, really, yep. you're going to be able to use Snipcart to do so. It's a complex beast, recurring payments, and we're in the last stretch, I would tell you.
Why is it better to have it on your own than using just Stripe?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah.
Because they have really cool subscription model. By the way, by my research project, I was digging into last couple of days into, and yeah. I was surprised that they have so many features, like the options yeah. for distributing payments as a marketplace model and other things. So what can you do better with subscription? Sorry for challenging this idea, but it seems like a good topic for discussion.
That's no, don't be sorry. I mean, I love questions like this. So one of my first answers would be Stripe is one payment gateway. I think as developers, we often think that Stripe is the payment gateway, and it might just be the case for us. But when you look at our, like we have, I don't know, around 3,000 live paying customers worldwide.
Wow, that's absolutely awesome number. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we worked hard for this and we're super glad. And but yeah, I mean, Stripe is the most used payment gateway, but not by 80%. You know what gotcha. I mean? There are a yeah. lot of other payment gateways and some of them don't handle subscriptions as good as Stripe does, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. So we're building subscriptions for all of this supported payment gateways that we have at Snipcart.
Yeah.
So there's this. And then there's something else is that Stripe in itself, if you're a developer, it's just the best DX, right? It's just easy to get set up and whatnot.
Absolutely, yes.
But you have to remember that the core of their offering is about accepting and processing and refunding payments.
Yes.
The core of their offering is not necessarily about building an e-commerce experience.
Yes.
So you can use them to build an e-commerce experience and other stuff. But Snipcart is more of a like packaged e-commerce experience where you're getting subscriptions, that's fine, but you can also sell physical goods, digital goods. You also have built-in features to do abandoned carts recovery campaigns and, you know, all of that jazz that comes around just operating and optimizing a business.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah, it comes already packaged and Snipcart yeah. requires more dev work. So Stripe requires more dev work. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I guess that you can add also some features like upsells, cross-sells for those subscriptions because, you know, people are selling a lot of different kind of subscriptions, not usually, you know, the simplest one as we know, like iTunes, whatever, but also some more sophisticated ones. And there is a lot of space for improvement. So that's cool. Now I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, and for instance, like Snipcart subscriptions are very customizable in terms of like, what's the frequency? Can they be paused, canceled, renewed?
Yeah.
We offer a customer dashboard where they can go and like manage their own subscription. So there's a whole bunch of fluff and cool yeah. stuff around. If I want to go quickly through the roadmap, because you were asking about future things. So there's a whole lot of bandwidth that will be attributed to refactoring yep. this year. You know, we kind of earned the right to pay some technical debt now mm-hmm. that we're successful and everything. So we're going to do some dashboard improvements, performance, some logic improvements towards tax and discounts, and some infrastructure optimizations. Other than that, there's a integration with Shippo that's coming in terms of enabling fulfillment. A new marketing site, a new pricing, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to be too like grocery list. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. I really appreciate it. That's super cool. So I have one Actually, one more question, because the one I had more, you answered the most exciting upcoming features, as I understood, are the subscriptions. So we already have it. But the last question I have on my list is about the tech trends. I always ask the same question at the end of my conversations. What tech trends makes you excited? What tech trends you think that gonna change, you know, the way we develop software in you know, upcoming years?
Yeah. Okay. So the more philosophical answer would be about decentralization.
Decentralization.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I think that if you look at the state of the world right now, there are weird dynamics going on in terms of privacy, censorship, and just lack of trust in some longstanding institutions. Mm-hmm. And I do think that these pressures will reflect in the form of systems and platforms built in a decentralized way. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin is the obvious contender, meaning like decentralized money or store of value. So this is something that, like, on a personal level, I find really interesting, and to see where this model of a like immutable distributed ledger that is not controlled by a central authority, where can that go, and how would that change our lives? Not just the money side, but all of the other potential killer features, let's say. So this is very interesting to me. In terms of more like e-commerce, I'm really interested in seeing how the through headless trend evolves. So right now you have this, half of it is marketing, half of it is actual like technical software benefits. So some companies, like I know you had the Filippo from Commerce Layer here, like you have some companies like focusing on this, and I'm really interested in seeing where they take their projects. I think the notion of having a omni-channel shopping experience that lives on one single source of truth for your data that can be then purchased through different front-end touch points, that's interesting. But having spoken with like folks at Contentful, Sanity, Strapi, Dato, all of these players, I can tell you for a fact that most people who are using a headless approach, whether it's to websites or just e-com, most of them don't necessarily need 12 different touch points, right? Most of them are mostly benefiting from the initial decoupling between the front and the back, the head and the database.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and this is just the tech side, and the whole challenge is somewhere else. I mean, processes, integrating processes between offline and online, which is something the headless platform won't help you. Like, okay, you can centralize, and this is actually great value of this. For example, Commerce Layer, you mentioned, Filippo told us in their interview that this is one of the key use cases they support, which is absolutely cool. But as you said, they maybe even think they need it, they like to have it, but implementing actually is a different story.
So and the ones that are implementing through omni-channel experiences are the big dogs, right? The Nike, the Red Bull, like they have whole departments and teams that are working on that.
Multi-million projects, years of
yeah, you know, exactly.
Work. Yeah.
And that's where, I think that's where we should look in terms of what kind of experiences on omni-channel can be done, and how and when would that translate into like the more SMB use cases?
Yeah.
That's interesting for me too.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the kind of smart POS solutions accepting credit cards, also integrating with e-commerce, would be something great. So having SNIP card, but offline, you know?
No.
This kind of thing.
So
it's super easy to integrate. You know? The integration is the toughest part.
Yeah, I mean, it's just exciting. I think we've seen with the pandemic, I think we're blessed to be in this industry, because first, we were not hit as hard, and for Snipcart,
absolutely,
it was bittersweet. But for Snipcart, like it exploded in terms of revenue.
Yeah,
and also it's just like we're all collectively trying to build a tooling for the future, and there's always something new. There's always a new tool.
Yeah.
Your assumptions get challenged every freaking 6 months, and like, this is so fun. Like, work should be this fun. And I feel privileged to be working in that space, really.
That's absolutely true. By the way, you said the pandemic and how it impacted our business. Do you also see something like we saw at the Vantage View storefront? I mean, the last year wasn't bad, right? It was, for e-commerce, it was actually quite good. But
yes,
I see an eruption of new projects going on, started this year, you know? January was crazy. February is even more crazy. Yeah. It seemed like the last year, they were struggling to somehow, you know, survive, planning the investments for the next year.
Yeah.
Next year came and the investments left off. Do you see something like this as well?
So we're bootstrapped and we're kind of the underdogs living in Quebec City. So we're not, you know, plugged inside the valley or SF or whatever, but we have some people in relationships over there. And to echo your point, the amount of money, of venture capital money that is being poured into e-commerce ventures and innovation and just tech companies is crazy.
Yes.
So that's from first-hand account. So yes, there's that. And then I think we see many e-commerce players pop up. And that's, when I was younger and maybe less mature, I used to be scared shitless of that. I was like, oh, they're going to take all of our clients and we're going to fail. And then you kind of realize that
the market e-commerce is expanding.
The e-commerce pie is just exploding in
itself.
It's
getting bigger. Yeah.
So my thinking is now much more of a curiosity and support approach to all of these new players in the e-commerce space, where I say, okay, let's see what you do with all of these millions. Let's see how you innovate, and let's see how you rise the tide for all of us. Like a rising tide lifts all boats. That's my belief when it comes to e-commerce these days. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good wrap up. thank you, François. That's it. I don't have much more, I don't have actually any more questions. So guys, if you have questions to me or to François, feel free to post it in the comments on YouTube or on whatever platform you use, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, whatever you use. Feel free to contact us. We're going to answer all your questions. Thank you once again for your time. For recording, it was fun talking with you. And see you soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Catch the Tornado podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe us on your favorite podcast platform. Speak to you next week.